It's your daily sports dump. And I'm your host, Joe Canelli. That's right, folks. It's me, your host, Joe Canelli. It's your daily sports dump evening edition for today, Friday, April 3rd, 2020. All right. We have a very special conversation with a former co-host of the Sports Dump for a short time, Ephraim Salaam, former NFL left and right tackle, played 13 years in the league, and he's been retired for a few years, and we have a conversation coming up in just a minute or two. But first, of course, it's time for our fake sports highlight of the day. And today's fake sports highlight comes to us from the Scottish Premiership, where today the Aberdeen Heart of Midlothian match ended in a 1-1 tie. There you go. That's your highlight of the day, folks. Your fake sports highlight of the day. And just like in real sports, sometimes the highlight of the day isn't all that. So that was your fake sports highlight of the day. Again, they won't always be from the Scottish Premiership, but today when I saw an Aberdeen Heart of Midlothian game, I knew I needed to fake highlight it. And so I did. And now, without further ado, we bring you the conversation between myself and Ephraim Salaam. And I forgot this from when we used to have our episodes, when he would come over here generally for an episode. I would always want to keep it light and talk about this and that, but there's always some topic or another that is a little bit serious that we get talking about. And of course, this virus that is happening is serious, but we also talked a little bit about the NFL collective bargaining agreement. And there were some points that Ephraim made that I hadn't even thought about, especially in terms of NFL veterans, which Ephraim is, and the health care that they are being provided in this new collective bargaining agreement. So he adds an interesting perspective that I hadn't even considered, and I hope you will consider it as you listen to this conversation, and have a good weekend, and we'll see you on Monday. Please enjoy. So here we are with my old friend and former co-host of the Sports Dump, briefly before you got, and this wouldn't have been difficult, but a better offer, certainly, which is the job. Are you still writing right now on that job? First of all, welcome.
I am still writing.
Nice. And that's one of the good, of all the industries, especially out here in LA, that is one that can basically move on without too much interruption. Now, you may have a different take on that, but I mean, you can still work from home and everybody can share documents and everything like that.
Right.
And why don't you just tell our listeners, if they don't know, what the show you're writing on is. It's for Showtime, correct?
It is for Stars.
Stars. Sorry about that.
That's okay. Premium cable is premium cable.
Well, they all try to differentiate, but so the Stars show, what's the name of it? Or are you not allowed to say?
It's called Intercepted.
And it is based on, I believe, the movies with Keanu Reeves, the John Wick movies.
Yes. No. That was an old project. That was called The Continental.
You're moving on to... you got jobs.
Project.
All right. This is a whole new project. That's why you haven't come back to the Sports Dump.
Right. It's been busy.
I don't blame you at all. I've barely come back to the Sports Dump, but of course I start, I really start doing it every day, hardcore committing to it as soon as sports just stop. It's just perfect timing. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. So, I did have some specific things I wanted to chat with you about because we had texted back and forth a little bit about this, and I had earlier spoken with David Sampson, who... I don't know if you know, but he used to be the president of the Marlins, and he calls in a couple times. I've talked to him, very pro-management, said this was such a good deal for the players, and that's when I became suspicious immediately. when he was super for it. And then you kind of, you have a player's perspective. And were you a union rep on your team?
No, I was not.
Okay. But I'm guessing you probably paid more attention, maybe even to this CBA, than some players in the league still.
Yes, I do, because a lot of it is, you know, it affects me as a retired player.
Oh, so the CBA,
they
negotiate for retired guys too. I forgot that, of course, that's a part of it. Now, all right, so, oh my goodness, I can't believe that that escaped my purview, but of course it would be right in yours. So from that perspective, did that hurt the retired players?
Yes, this current deal is terrible for us.
Okay. Now, normally what the deal does is they stick it to the rookies. Not always. That it's come back for the rookies back and forth, but why wouldn't you go after the, you know, that's usually the people who take the brunt of it. In the NFL of all leagues, I would think the veterans need the CBA more than most other leagues because of the medical issues.
Yeah, the problem is current players don't ever look at it like that.
Now, when you were playing in the league, did you have a similar point of view, or do you think that you had a little bit more of a long-term view?
Well, no, because you don't ever see the end. When you're in the middle of your career, you don't see the end coming.
Okay.
Right? So this is something that happens when, you know, they go through the current players. They're like, hey, we're going to give you this. You get more profit sharing. Minimum salaries go up.
Right.
Bigger deals. And so guys get excited. But when you start asking, you know, you don't care about health care or lifetime health care because, number one, none of the guys they've ever had to have health care or get health care.
Right, because their school took care of it. Yep. And then the team.
Because, right. So they don't, you know, they don't know. I didn't know how healthcare worked or what I needed to do to get it until maybe 3 years ago.
Really?
And I'm 43. So I had 40. Yeah, really.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, no idea.
Well, and I guess I can see. And that's, you know, that's kind of one of the things that. Now, do they do that in training for players? Do they talk about things like that? Like, do they say, you know, you're going to have to plan for your time, or is it just the kind of thing that, yeah, they can say that at your orientation, but who gives a crap, because you've just gotten a $250,000 check that you've never gotten before. It's hard to consider your medical condition 20 years down the road. I'm guessing that they take advantage of that point of view from players, and the league, it sounds like the kind of the powers that be in the NFLPA didn't do a good job.
No, terrible. It's terrible because they're so short-sighted. I mean, first of all, who does 10-year deals?
Yes. If the NFL wants a 10-year deal, they've got to give you everything. Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what I'm saying. Like, again, David's perspective was you know, they've got security for 10 years, but the players are only playing for 4 years or 2 years or whatever. So while the collection has 10 years, and I guess that's it. Again, they prey on the players saying, oh, I'm going to play 10 years. I got this whole contract here. But what that really secures is the owners, because now the networks know that there's not going to be a strike. So they can get a bigger TV deal. Yeah.
For now they can jack it up.
For a sliver of a percentage increase for that 17th game.
Yeah, it was what, 0.5% or something like that?
It was 0.5%. It should have gone up to 50-50 if you want to go. That's what I said. I said, you do not want to add work. That's like saying to a 9-to-5 guy, you know, every 3 weeks you're coming in on Saturday. You know, and contracts are just going to get prorated over 17 games. They're not going to give you the extra check. They're just going to give you your contract. They're still going to negotiate off of, you know, if they add a 17th game and you're on a 4-year contract now, I'm guessing you don't get an extra bump for the 17th game. It's probably just your annual contract spread out. Like,
right, just spread out.
I don't understand how me, like, not a union lawyer, sees how, and again, I don't have the same perspective as these guys, but it just seemed to me that it was very short-sighted, just the stuff that I was aware of. And although they did, like you, like we both said, get those great increases, those increases were coming anyway. They were due that no matter what. That was almost like a non-starter for me. Like, of course you're going to get more money for everyone because there's more money out there. That's just me.
It's frustrating because, you know, guys don't need the health care until they get 40. Then everything starts falling off. You know, I've had 2 ankle surgeries since I've been retired, a heap of physical therapy. I need constant maintenance on my body, all of it.
I mean, I've seen you walk down the stairs here, and other than, you know, after almost bumping your head on the doorway, it took you longer than it took my 2-year-old to get down those stairs, just, you know, because you're walking gingerly on both legs. And that's obvious. And of course, yes, they're going to pay for your health care as long as you're out there on the field and they can put you out there for another game. But you're right. The doctor who's sewing up your ACL now, he's not going to be there to fix it 10 years down the road when it goes again.
No. I was having bone spurs removed out of my ankle, which they tell you when I was playing, they said, "Hey, look, once you go in there and this thing happens, it's gonna be time."
They create a chronic condition.
Because it comes back. It'll come back.
And so, again, I'm not much aware of what happened for the players down the line, but did they cut the money for? Is there no money for players who are retired?
There's money, but it's not. It's there, but the hoops that you have to go through to get it.
Right.
Sorry about the wind.
No, that's all right.
It's the hoops you have to jump through to get the money and the benefits and all of those. And those benefits expire. Like, the line of duty benefit is only for 7.5 years after you retire. Funny thing is, mine I applied for it a little late, and it just expired.
So it's
this month.
So that's the last insurance that you get from the league after you play for a certain period of time. You kind of get
the line of duty. Got my last check this month,
and that's it.
Time for that to happen.
Oh my goodness! And this is an indication, really. I think we're all discovering what you're talking about is obviously from an industry that you worked in that does the healthcare. Healthcare is important for everyone, obviously, but if you're in an industry that is diminishing your health as part of the industry, that's an even greater obligation. Now, I think we all think that, you know, medicine is a human right. So we should all have a certain level of it. But then I think there is an additional obligation. It's why you see mesothelioma lawsuits for people who worked with asbestos or whatever. And that's the problem, is that the lawsuit that the players brought against the union, that was a drop in the bucket, not against the union, against the league. That was a drop in the bucket league, for the league. That settlement was nothing.
Yeah, but, you know, per that settlement, all the things you had to give up, like, it's no admission of guilt.
Oh, yeah, you can't sue them again for it. That's the thing. It's done.
You can't sue them again. But what people don't know is, to even claim any of that, now I've played 13 years, I've started over 100 and who knows how many games. I don't know. I really don't know.
Over 100.
So you're telling me I've never, it's probably over 120 some odd games.
Yeah.
Which is not bad considering we only play 16 to 19 a year.
Oh, yeah. Well, not to mention the college games you played for free, relatively.
But just on the NFL front, in terms of concussions or things like that. You know.
Yeah.
For you to say that I'm not on the scale or I don't deserve any money.
Well, they should pay for, and I think, you know, I think it wouldn't be a very difficult thing to prove that the injuries and the surgeries are related to the injuries and the surgeries and the playing from before.
Good luck.
Yeah, well, this is, again.
If
this,
you don't go in there half blind, can't focus, can't pretty much remember your name, you're not seeing a dime of that settlement money.
Yeah, right. If you're still coherent, if you don't have early onset.
You can walk in there and have a conversation. It's not going to work out for you.
Right, despite the fact that that doesn't mean really anything in terms of what the damage has been done. And we've had the conversation. We're just kind of talking about the physical injuries, but of course, there are other things down the line with all the painkillers and stuff. And I don't know if that was part of the original settlement with the veterans. Because if not, that might be another class action that could be brought. But in terms of this contract, it's too bad that they did that. And to me, that's a failure of the leadership of the union to not be forward-looking, because it is sometimes the obligation to explain to the rank-and-file members what they may not be realizing at the time. And it doesn't seem like that was done. It reminds me a little, and I don't know if I told you this, but it's on such a smaller scale, Ephraim, but when I worked at Second City, I was our union rep, and the woman who was the union person for us had worked for 20 years, and her only contract was with Second City. That was her only job. So every year that she had to come in, they just handed her the paper, and she's like, oh, great, that's it. And they never negotiated. And so when I came in, I said, we want to ask for this and this. And she said, she said, they'll never give you that. And I said, well, they might not give us that, but they'll give us more than nothing. And then we fired her and everything. And to me, it seems like the leadership was just like, all right, we're going to get to say we got a contract done. And they didn't care about what was in it.
Right.
I don't know if that's a correct read, but
they just want to get it. They just want to get it done.
Because to them, getting it done is a victory, just getting it done. Regardless, it's like passing a bill in Congress. Wow, we passed a bill. Well, what if it's a shitty bill? That doesn't do anything.
Right.
Oh, I had the same thing happen when I called my brother in the background. Now, I have a question. Did you play with Tony Baselli?
No, I played. I didn't play with him.
You didn't.
But I've always admired him. I played when he played, but oh, goodness gracious.
You were not on Jacksonville, though, when he was?
No.
Okay. Because he just came out of this. I listened to an interview he did today, and, you know, it was very severe. Obviously, he was scared. You could hear he said it, and you could hear in his voice how scared he was in this. And I wondered, you know, he's still in good shape, I would assume. I wonder if, you know, you're also...
Yeah, but you got to remember, his career got cut short because of injury. He was one of the greatest left tackles to ever play the game, he played a whole season with one arm.
Oh,
literally.
Really?
What? Yes.
I do not know the history of his injury.
He was unbelievable.
I mean, he's
and
not...
And Jacksonville drafted... They drafted him in the supplemental. Houston drafted him in the expansion draft.
Oh.
After he'd already hurt his shoulder.
That's right. Now, he didn't play with them. Did he retire? Or he did?
He had one arm, literally.
One arm. So what happened? His shoulder was just done, or his bicep? Or
it was done. It was it. It was over.
And he still played another season. Which shoulder was it?
Another season.
Was it his?
His
outside?
It doesn't matter at that point. It doesn't.
I guess not. Yeah.
He played 1 year with one shoulder and still was dominant, and he still made it to the Hall of Fame. So.
Yeah. Well, I wondered about, you know, he's a guy who's in great shape, but when he got this, and again, I don't know if this is something that is it that when you're that size that you need so much oxygen that any depletion of oxygen, or is it just, you know, I don't know if you know anyone else who has gotten this around the league or anything. I just wonder, you know, if, you know, when obviously most athletes are doing great with this, but he got quite sick, and I wondered if there was other circumstances involved with his health or something. He's better now though, so
But you just don't know, man.
I guess that's what it is.
Right, and that's the point. That's why lifetime health coverage is so important, because you really don't know.
Right.
You don't know.
Right.
Right? You wake up and you feel fine one day, and 2 years later,
yeah,
you got sleep apnea.
Yeah.
You know, all kinds of crazy stuff.
Sure, sure.
You know?
Well, and there you go. Oh, yeah,
early
sleep.
Early onset dementia and Alzheimer's. Like,
yeah. You don't know what is contributing to everything. Right. You're right. And again, this what you're saying is doubly important in any industry where you're physically putting yourself on the line. But it speaks to the larger issue that all of us don't know. We all should have health care. And right now we're seeing how all of it, you know, where and I don't want to get too big into this, but the government should not be taking shipments of medical equipment and giving it to private industry to sell to states. Like when the government gets equipment from other countries, they hand it out to states. They don't give it to Johnson & Johnson to then sell to the highest bidder. That's the system we're in right now. And again, your circumstance, they're going on with the draft. How do you feel about them going on with the draft?
Oh, your business does. It's the NFL, man.
Well, that's what I wonder. Like, there's a part of me.
I mean, they played a week after 9/11.
Yeah, yeah, yes, and under the pretense of the country needs it, but there are other pretenses there that are less spoken of and just as obvious.
Yeah, it was an act of war. It was like Pearl Harbor.
Yeah.
In New York, and we played a football game.
Yeah.
After that.
Yeah. Well, and again, it's business as usual, and it's funny because there was a part of me, and again, I totally admit that my perspective is so skewed as just a fan, but I do try to think outside of that, and I think, well, you know, you can pull it off without having the people there, but you don't get, you know, and really the draft is a crapshoot in a way, so does it help that the country has something to watch? But then again, is it that important really that it couldn't wait anyway? Like, we don't need to see the draft. It's not like the Super Bowl in terms of importance to the country. But both you, and now this is funny because the same thing with David Sampson. And again, I use him as the counter because I think you and I have more of the workers, even though you've made more as a worker than me. But the workers' perspective versus the management perspective, he's against the doing the draft too, because he thinks that it's not the right time to do it. So if you guys both agree and I disagree, I feel like I might be wrong. I'm still going to watch it, though.
Of course, everybody's going to watch it. We need anything sports to come on right now. But, you know, that's in, what, 20 days?
Yeah.
22 days?
Yep.
Hopefully there's a dramatic change in how we're sitting in the country.
Right.
In 22 days.
That's true. And I haven't even, right. What if we're in the midst of it, this becoming a crisis of even more epic proportions, then what happens? And I wonder, yeah.
Or the opposite. I'm leaning towards going the other way.
Sure. Well, out here, I feel, you know, again, I've said this with a few people, and I think when you live out here, you observe it. I just don't see people in person as much as I did in Chicago in any circumstance, personally, business, whatever. There's so much driving involved and everything just built into L.A. And, you know, a lot of people in L.A. are also so self-absorbed that they don't mind going into their apartment by themselves for a while and just looking in the mirror. I just think we're, and geography also, there's hills, it keeps people apart. I think we're better off than certainly a place like New York, but even other urban places like Chicago.
I mean, the largest market in our country is devastated right now.
Oh, I mean, yeah, completely. My folks live in upstate, but you know, just north of the city is very bad also. And they're not leaving their house. Now, my father, he only left his house for church anyway. So this is only a slight change in his demeanor. But the rest of the family, yeah, they are locked in.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It is. Years from now, you know, we're kind of, that's the other thing. We're just a few weeks in. So who knows? Like you said, in April 22nd will be about as much time, or April 24th, as much time will have passed as has already passed since we've been kind of inside. So who knows how much this is going to change in that amount of time?
Right.
I mean, have you been staying in the house? Do you go out for anything?
No. We take it serious. If we need something, that's how to limit it to once a week.
Yeah, right. And do it all in one trip, right?
Yeah. Yep. We're taking it extremely serious now.
Yep. That's good. We all have to take it seriously because, I mean, there really is. I think you're seeing, in crisis, you see the truth in people. You see if someone is self-absorbed and goes to the beach and whatever. But when you, or if they decide to be ignorant. I think sometimes that happens where a person can say, I didn't know. Well, geez, it wasn't hard to figure it out.
Right.
But it is an act of camaraderie with the community to stay in your house, as weird as it sounds, as much as possible. So, yeah, I think we've already been in a situation, I think you and I have talked about this in terms of race stuff, where some people feel pretty confident to say whatever they want nowadays. I think now that we're also in crisis, you're going to see people saying whatever they want because they don't know, they're in a panic, and so they're showing their true colors. Which, again, that's not necessarily always good. But again, when you get through it on the other side, you can look back and learn from that in a lot of ways. Why does it always, we always get too serious when you and I talk for some reason.
It's all right because we talk about real issues. Man.
I know.
The real world.
But it's called the sports dump.
It's fine. It's good.
Sports is in a dump right now, though. It's true. And the world's kind of in a dump. We got to pick through the garbage and find the gems.
Yeah, that's well said.
I just wonder, this is kind of on, off topic, I don't know. When they find a vaccine for this, will there still be anti-vaxxers? Or will this solve the anti-vaxxer thing once and for all?
I think this one is going to solve it.
Kind of like polio. Like, no, there were no anti-vaxxers in the age of polio. Like, people were like, no. I don't know if I'm going to get this polio vaccine. I think you need to see it, and I think maybe that'll come out of it and it'll be good.
Yeah, once you see, I mean, because a lot of those people are going to have things affect, people's personal effects.
Yeah.
And so... Yeah, this is one of those, you might want to hold off on those sentiments.
Yeah. Well, that's true. That's very true because by the time this is all done, you know, everyone will know, it'll be, the degrees are shrinking in on us on how close people are coming, you know.
Right.
Well, hopefully, like you said, come around the draft, we're looking good. Everybody's stayed in their house and just done phone calls with me like this. Just as effective. We got just as serious as we would have if we were sitting here eating French toast. So you don't have to go to somebody's house to have the same conversation.
Stay at home.
All right. Well, if this thing drags out, and even if it doesn't, let's do this more often and keep me posted on your show.
I will. I definitely will.
All right, man. Good talking to you.
Thank you, brother.
Be safe.
You too.
Bye. All right, that was my conversation with Ephraim Salaam. As always, very enlightening, very thoughtful, and very insightful. So, hope you enjoyed that, and please follow us on Instagram at @the_sports_dump, and on Twitter at @sportsdumpshow, and please rate and review us if you could. And we still need a few states. We're 14 states short of getting all 50. Remember, once we get all 50 states, we'll probably stop doing the podcast. So if you have any friends up in that Northeast corridor there, also in SEC country, and then up through the Midwest, past Nebraska into the Dakotas and such, That's where we're looking for some more listeners. Also Hawaii and Alaska, but that's probably obvious. All right. Catch you on Monday. Later. Bye.